just excited.
Good evening. We'll go ahead and start the meeting at 6:07 on Wednesday the 11th. We probably need to go around and do some introductions again.
Barb Larson, horticulture educator.
Erin Decker is supervisor.
Ashley Kennedy, youth governance. Emily Yersin, youth governance.
Jeannie Lisky Christensen, consumer report educator.
Mike Skolitsky, supervisor.
Ann Cook, interim youth development educator with 4-H emphasis, filling in for John while they look for replacement.
Beth Sarcy, 4-H program assistant.
Alessandra Rockwell, tech wizard coordinator.
Molly Meyer, youth program assistant.
Kelly Van Boldrick, tech wizard coordinator also.
Mike Underhill, county supervisor.
Rick Dodge, supervisor.
Teddy Winnett, director of Kenosha County UW Extension.
Kim Brunig, I'm a supervisor. welcome everyone. Teddy, certification of compliance?
We are. The meeting was posted on August 29th and September 3rd.
Thank you. And okay. Item number two is the UW System Board of Regents Agreement.
Yes, I emailed this to all the committee members to have a chance to review it before tonight's meeting. This is the annual contract that is between the county and the UW system on behalf of our educators' salaries. So for new supervisors who may not have seen this before, our salaries are split 40% county and 60% the state. So the 40%, and this includes our benefits, so the 40% is what we put into our county budget, and the 60% then is paid by the university. Once a year, because there are staff changes, people leave, people reduce appointments, we have all these different scenarios that happen. They annually review the contract and make adjustments. So we Kenosha County, given as many changes as we've had this last year, we have a credit. So if you reviewed it on the first page, you'll see they have the salaries and the fringe benefits, and then the travel that you see in there is Rose Scores travel. Rose is the educator we share with Racine County. So Racine puts money in the pot for travel, and Kenosha puts money in the pot for travel, and that's how Rose's mileage is paid. Every other educator's salary is paid out of our county budget. But the reconciliation is the amount I wanted to draw your attention to. That's the credit of the $8,827 because of the vacancies in John's position and other the time frame. So that is the credit there. So the back pages are the supporting documents for every fiscal year in the detail, and then the proposed budget that we put forward for FY13. And remember, the state budget is July 1 to June 30th. So typically what happens is, as the committee, you approve the contract, and I have the four originals. You sign them, and because they're four originals, we pass them around. You sign on the same line every time. You all remember this little routine? That's all stuff. I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Erin.
This is just for to correct for last year?
Actually, it's the contract that will be in place for this year.
Okay.
And what the reconciliation is we budgeted as if John would have been here for the whole year.
Right.
And he's not. And so, and Amy came in at a lower salary than Annie. So we've got all these credits.
Right.
So that's
it. It's for this current, it's not a new contract.
That's
We're
correct.
We're just revising the old.
That's correct. That's why it says amendment.
Do we have to adjust in finance for this?
We do not.
Okay.
No, we do not. It's all accounted for in the county budget where I reflected that change in the proposed 2014 county budget.
Okay.
Any other questions? Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the contract.
First by Supervisor Decker and a second by Supervisor Skolitsky.
Is it the contract or the amendment?
Amendment.
It's an amendment.
Make a motion to approve the amendment to the contract.
I second that.
Okay. Youth and Governance, how do you vote?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. The contract is approved.
Okay, we'll keep on with the meeting, but I'm going to start with Chairman Bruning. She'll sign on the first line, Supervisor Decker, the third, second, third, fourth, fifth. So you'll sign on the same line every time. And be sure to fill in the date.
Okay.
Okay, so they're all going to come around.
Okay. Number three.
Director updates. Let me start with mentioning that we've met Anne now. Anne has been here since the second week of August on an interim basis until we get the position filled. And our goal, well, she's here until February because it's a six-month interim. And our goal is to, we actually are starting the process now to refill our youth development educator position by holding a visioning session on October 3rd. So I've invited Chairman Bruning to represent the committee, and I've invited both of our youth and governance members to attend that session. And one of you can attend and one of you can't, but that's wonderful that you'll get that, we'll get that opportunity. The visioning session is allowing stakeholders, oh, and I invited Alessandra. Did I invite anybody else? Huh?
Yeah.
Invited lots of people to provide input into, it's a great opportunity to say, what should the position look like? I mean, we all knew what John did, but now we have an opportunity to reframe the position and refocus it. And so that's what this will do. And so it's inviting the stakeholders to provide that input. That will then inform the position description. And so shortly after October 3rd, we'll put forward a position description and get the position posted. It posts for 6 weeks. We do preliminary interviews and then final interviews. So again, if all falls into place, about March is when I would hope we get somebody on board for that position. Okay. Questions about that? The other thing I want to mention is that we have recently become aware of new, I believe it comes out of the governor's office, which is the expectation of those of us in UW system, and we're part of the big UW system, we are considered mandatory reporters when it comes to child abuse and neglect. Okay, so all of us in the office, including Donna, even though she's a county employee, are taking an online training to provide us the background and training on what is expected of us in our mandatory reporting role and what is it that we're looking for. So we have until the end of the year to take that training, and then it is our expectation that we would perform our duties as such. Our volunteers are also mandatory reporters. So what we have not yet determined is at what level will the volunteers go through training. 4-H volunteers already have a training that they go through that Bethany leads, but there's been discussion, and Barb correct me, that about how do we engage Master Gardeners and other volunteer groups in a very comprehensive, collective way so that they all go through the same training and have the same feedback.
Yep,
so we're not at that point yet, but I think they plan to. So I just wanted you all to be aware of that. And then lastly, I wanted to report that I spent quite a bit of time this last month in a political effectiveness role. With the redistricting that has occurred, you all know that we now have different representation at the state level, with Senator Lehman now in Kenosha County, Representative Barker going into Racine County, Senator Wirch going into Racine County. So my counterpart in Racine, Bev Baker, and I have met with Senator Lehman, Senator Wirch, and Representative Barker for us to introduce each other to the other. We knew Wirch, but Wirch didn't know Racine. I knew Barker, but Barker didn't know Racine, and Bev didn't know Wirch. So we sort of did the little tag team and introduced them to the work that we do in Extension, talked about our priority programs, and got their feedback on what their issues were. So it gave us a chance to do some great introductory kinds of opportunities. And lastly, we were contacted by Benjamin, I'm going to mispronounce his last name, Herreras, I think. He is a staffer out of Congress Senator Tammy Baldwin's office. I almost called her Congresswoman. She's now a senator. He has been assigned the jurisdiction of Kenosha and Racine counties. So he called us to say, I want to learn more about what you do. What is UW Extension? How do you all get involved, and how can we assist you? So we met with him last week, and that proved very beneficial. He's very interested in energy, and Amy Grile, who isn't here this evening, Amy's at a training for economic development. Amy shared at the last meeting that she's been working on an energy audit for the county. So I mentioned that to Ben, and he thought that there might be a connection to some of the work that he's familiar with out of the federal level. So I'm going to connect Amy and Ben together and see if we can't make some connections around energy and energy audit. So that is my report. Any questions?
feature program, Youth Development Programs Update.
Let me begin by sharing the chart that I emailed all of you so that you have that as a visual in front of you, kind of gives you the overlay. I have to pay credit here to John. This really is, if John will leave many legacies, as we all know, this is certainly one of them. And that is the foundational work that he put behind the umbrella of youth development in Kenosha County and establishing a very comprehensive youth development effort to reach youth. And given that you don't always get to hear from some of the folks we have in these program areas, that's why we have all the beautiful young women here this evening to talk about those programs and give you a little bit more emphasis. Briefly touching on 4-H, because 4-H gets their opportunity later, and we really did this not knowing Bethany would be back. With Bethany, new mother Bethany, we anticipated that she'd still be out on maternity leave, and so we went ahead and said we'll figure out how to do this in a different way, but Bethany's here to also chime in. So tonight we're going to hear from a bit about a brief update on 4-H and some of the work that Anna has been doing and the directions that we're going this fall. And then we're going to go back a little bit in time and hear from Holly in her role as an AmeriCorps VISTA, and in her youth development program assistant role, she was supporting and providing guidance to a program this summer with the ELC Outreach Center in Kenosha. This is probably year 4 or 5 that we've been engaged in that process. I won't steal your thunder, but
more than eight.
Oh yeah, time goes by fast for Teddy to keep up with that. So she'll talk about that. And then one of our newer programs in the box over here on the far left, or far right, is our Tech Wizards program. And Kelly and Alessandra will talk about that, and we're really excited about that partnership and that gearing up. So I'm going to turn it over to Ann and let Ann go first with 4-H.
Yeah, so just a quick background about who I am. So I just moved to Wisconsin from Minnesota a couple months ago, and I actually worked for University of Minnesota Extension in Benton County as a 4-H program coordinator for over 4 years. And one thing that is really wonderful that I came from Minnesota and not another state is Wisconsin is switching all of our enrollment to an online system, which is one that we used in Minnesota. So I'm very familiar with it, and I actually went through a transition of going from the exact same program Wisconsin has been using to this new program. And so it's been really reassuring to a lot of the volunteers to know that I work with this program and I can help them, help the families put everything together. So now with Bethany back, I'm going to be focusing more on the 4-H online part of 4-H for now while I'm still here. And so it's not launched live quite yet. I think next week is our launch date when our families can start re-enrolling for the year, because our 4-H year goes from October 1st through September 30th. And so it's time to get re-enrolled and re-chartered up for all the clubs. And it's really nice with this program is families can log on at any time 24/7, any day of the week, anytime they want, and they can update their information on their own. So there's not gonna be the calling of our office constantly to be updating, which is hopefully gonna free up some of Donna's time as well to be doing other good work in our office. And the big thing of this year is just getting everyone ready for the new system and adapted to the new system. But once they're on there, it works really well. And so it's just getting everyone to realize that they're not going to be filling out paper forms and doing all of that. It's going online and getting this done. So that's what I'm focusing my efforts on at the moment.
This will also allow project leaders and yes. general leaders access to the kids' phone numbers and stuff to see who they're actually, mm-hmm. who's in their projects and stuff. And there is safety barriers of you will only have yes. access if you're going to be a sheep leader, you will only have access to the sheep kids
after we give you the access,
and we grant the access out. And we also do that with the members too. We'll actually approve you, so you will be turning, they'll still be turning in their dues and forms and things like that. The general leaders turn in us, Donna or Ann or I will go in and click that you are accepted in the 4-H program. And then you as a parent will have access to your kids, what they're enrolled in and mm-hmm. things like that. And also the project leaders will have access to just a certain project. General leaders will have access to just their kids in their club.
So Yeah, the clubs and the leaders can just go in and send an email directly to everyone in their club or their program without having to even leave the system. Or they can download all the data to an Excel file, and if there are any geeky project leaders, which I'm sure there are, they can do all sorts of cool stuff with that. Prompt print labels for mailings and lots of good stuff.
So any questions on that? We're gonna learn as we go, just as much as everybody else.
Yeah, my biggest thing is since we used it, it's very similar to how it was done in Minnesota, but there's a few things that are different. So I'm trying to just really get those things that are different drilled into my head so I don't give out the wrong information that would work there. But I think I've got it down pretty good.
So, and then the other couple things is September happens to be a lot of going up and down. The kids are finishing up their 4-H year, so they're turning in their record books awards, things like that. They're applying for trips and awards and scholarships. At the same time, they're really trying to figure out what exactly they want to take this next year. So it's kind of twofold in the month of September. In your packets, you should have gotten the 4-H open house, which is Tuesday, so I invite you guys to come check it out, see all the clubs and projects. If you happen to know anybody that's K through third that would like to come and they didn't get an invite, I have some here, so please take some with you. And that's pretty much it for this year so far.
Any questions?
Yes, please.
I don't think we got a package.
Yeah, when would that have gone out? Did it get mailed directly to the supervisors?
It should.
Why don't you pass one out now?
You can pass them all around.
Just give
it. I don't know.
I can't touch it.
It's paper.
You know what? You can give it to a family that's got a kindergartner.
Okay.
Kindergartner,
okay.
Third grade. Yeah.
3 seconds.
I don't know that Donna would have mailed that to the supervisors, and we don't mail packets, Bethany, so they don't get any. Yeah, so I would assume that.
Anybody want more than one to hand out?
Thank you.
Luckily, in October, there's five Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
So I can go to the awards night.
Oh, good.
Because previous is my services.
She's the favorite.
I know, I always call them.
Oh, and then also, if you guys, I know you guys are busy in October. So if you are free, October 29th is a 4-H awards program. Starting at 7 o'clock. So
that's budget.
It's the last Tuesday in October.
I was told that it was meet and greet at 6:30. Starts at 7.
Yeah,
is that correct?
6:30 is the meet and greet. We kind of have outdoors, and then 7 o'clock is when the program starts. That is here. It's in the hearing room, actually.
Some of us will be at the county's conference in Madison on that day.
Oh, WCA.
Mike will. Yeah.
Well, if you're free, please
budget.
Join us. We'd,
huh?
We'd love to have
budget.
You. We'll let you get. We'll have you guys hand out awards or something if you come and hand out awards.
And now the big question. I haven't seen a picture.
Baby.
They're on my phone, which I left.
I thought you'd have like the screen down and a projector with a picture up there, just so that we could see.
So I will bring the picture next.
Okay.
Are you back?
I am back. Monday was my official day. So I'm officially back.
That was for sure.
As of Monday, part time. So I am officially back in the office this week.
Okay. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next?
Now I believe Holly's going to talk about summer camp.
That's right. I think that Teddy emailed you guys the report of our, it looks like this on the front, that has a picture of lots of lovely faces. I just want to tell you a little about our summer camp. This is actually the 8th year that I've been able to participate in it, and the extension office was there even several years before that doing a variety of educational components. When we first started our partnership with the Outreach Center, it used to be called the ELCA Urban Outreach Center, and they would get confused with the Urban League all the time, so now they are just the ELCA Outreach Center. But It's on 60th Street in Kenosha, near the Uptown area. And they service just all kinds of different services, from bus tokens and prescription vouchers to children's programs. And the clothing closet, they have, it's a phenomenal place. You can check it out at some point. They'd like to be less of a secret than they are right now. So they have a summer camp that's free for underprivileged, economically underprivileged youth. It's a 6 weeks program, Monday through Friday, noon-ish till four. Some days it's earlier, many days it's earlier. And this year, kind of, 3 years ago, we decided that maybe it's a better idea for, instead of having our summer vistas go a lot of different places and do a little teaching here and a little teaching here, maybe we should all go one place and stay there all the time and do a lot of teaching there. So that's the partnership that the agreement we came to with the Outreach Center. Our first year was not wonderful. We learned some things. And they got a new director, and we got some new, we made some decisions of what it would be like. And we came up with a formal memorandum of agreement. So they, as the Outreach Center, they provide the space, they do the recruiting for the children, they hire team staff, and they make most of all the financial contributions for everyday, day-to-day. They pay the lights, they get people to make lunch, whatever. And then we, as the extension office, have been able to broker summer AmeriCorps vistas. So this year we had 3 summer AmeriCorps vistas, and they do all the teaching there, all the educational components of the program, and then, of course, assist in every other way possible. So we, 4-H, provide them with all their supplies for art and science and the educational part. So for me, I think the most significant outcomes, I think, for the summer, you could see in your report just on how what the actual students said. One of our AmeriCorps kind of gives us some objectives for the summer. And this summer they had one objective, was that we would increase the STEM things for kids. So that's science, technology, engineering, math. That we would focus on those areas a lot. And the other would be that we would concentrate on helping them with healthy living. So I was astounded when I read what the kids said about those two things. For the healthy living, we've always given the kids this same survey, and we've never had these type of results, but 95% of the children said that they choose healthy snacks like fruits and vegetables because they came this summer. And only one kid said he's not sure if he wants to do that.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. But usually they are very like, no, we still hate carrots. They're very honest, but I feel like they really felt like that. 95% said they're more physically active because of the summer. And that's because we hardly ever let them sit down. We're playing basketball and doing things in the gym and taking them on field trips and taking them swimming and going to the park and playing capture the flag, just constantly moving. And I think a lot of kids who often think they don't like physical activity, or maybe at school, they don't like the PE or they don't like those kind of things, because of the inclusive format of our program, they're okay with that. This year we had a few kids with special needs that we haven't had in the past. One boy had cerebral palsy, and one girl had only one hand. And it was so neat to see just how the kids incorporated those two even. We went to Lutherdale, this camp, and we were doing a rock climbing wall, and the girl with only one hand, she decided, I probably can't do that. But she was, helping the other kids with their zip lining and doing all this stuff. And later I was asking, a couple weeks later even, several kids had never even realized that she only had one hand, just because she just felt so involved. And at the end of the year, we have a talent show, and the boy with cerebral palsy, he wanted to do his own thing, and he got up and did this whole dance routine for the kids to watch, and it was just very exciting. That was a new kind of level for us to feel that we could include kids with special needs even, and they were fit well. Another thing I just wanted to draw your attention to is the science report. The AmeriCorps Vista who did science for us this year was a perfectionist, and she was very disappointed that not 100% of the kids said that their interest in science increased for the summer. She's like, I was really disappointed on what they said. But you know, in the last several years, Kenosha Unified's been working so hard to get up there, meet the DPI standards for their math and reading. A lot of science has kind of fallen to the wayside. So for kids to get to experience it in a hands-on way was really neat. You know, she did experiments with them, but chemistry and physics and all these very complicated things that they didn't realize was complicated things, because they were exploding stuff or making butter, or you know, it was just really neat. So on this report, the kids said 68% of them said that their interest of science had increased. And I was saying to her, 68%, that's a lot of kids, you know. So and 64% said their ability to work with others had improved. And also, I thought, really neat statistics. So you can look, there's so many great things, quotes that the children had, a lot of, you know, we have teen assistants also who, most of them were, Alessandra's with me, most of them were 14 or 15. This is definitely their first job. They're so nervous, you can't believe when they have their interviews, you know, things like that. And to see some of the things that they said and how they felt that they grew this summer. You know, one girl, we were definitely her first job, and she said that she, because of the program, that she felt like she actually could be a valuable employee somewhere. And by the end of the summer, she had lined up another job to be working, you know, for like a regular, she's working, got a job at Wendy's to work just for the school year and everything else. And she didn't feel like she was capable of doing that or good enough to get a job before. So just so many wonderful pictures and success stories. Good partnership.
Okay, any questions?
Well, how many participants or kids did you
have? About 50 kids.
Okay. Is that up or down about the same?
It's about the same. We usually, honestly, this year we had a huge waiting list. I think we had 20 or more kids on the waiting list. And so as the first few weeks went on, if some kids weren't coming that had originally been accepted, then we were calling back kids from the waiting list and inviting them to come to the program.
And what was the age range?
Oh, good question. Going into first grade to going into fifth grade.
Okay, so not too wide.
Not huge. There's some kids who were outside of those limits who had snuck in there, but
And so when you were working or your coach, math or science or something like that, you obviously have to tailor it to their mental capacity level. So would you get the fourth and fifth graders?
Right. Yes, we actually broke them up for all of camp into different groups. So you have the first and second grade group, third and fourth grade, and then fifth grade on their own. We had also some, through a partnership with Kenosha Unified, two Kenosha Unified teachers would come in and do math one day a week, and then Alessandra would do it with them another day. So that we were trying, there were some kids that were really low in their proficiency, or trying to, you know, build them up.
Yeah, so was it more of the, you know, like you said, you talked about some science experiments, it's really great to do it first day and exposure, real life experiences, yeah. That kind of stuff. But math, it's kind of hard to do that. So it was more just working on simple problem solving or?
A lot of math facts.
Okay.
Can you say?
It was a lot of like hands-on with math and like just the basic facts, because a lot of them struggled with the basic facts to be able to, they couldn't do addition before they could do subtraction. So we just emphasized their basic facts to reinforce, like, for you to understand how to do addition, then we can move on to subtraction.
And did you get a sense of the ones that, you know, well, that you were working with, why they may have been struggling, or they not, you know, because sometimes these school kids, these sort of guilty, you know, they just kind of push these kids through, and they're not, rather than, you know, making sure that they've got the fundamental basics when they're young put in place, because they'll want to punish them later on in life. Is there
I'm actually like in the process of becoming a teacher, so I'm like elementary and special ed, and a lot of like my teaching style and a lot of the emphasis we did with the math teaching was all hands-on, because that's where the kids need to see the visually, like I have three products over here and I might have five products over here, and those come together, what you just did with addition, even though you may not know at the time. So a lot of it, that fault that we saw was the help with the hands-on. It wasn't just doing a worksheet over and over again, because then it just becomes they're memorizing those problems. So the more hands-on or real-life examples we give them, like we did a lesson with water balloons, and we had them, you know, all right, if I throw three water balloons this way and I have 10 total, how many now do I have left over? So a lot of the connection that helped them, because our average in scoring went up, and that I think helped was just visualization, be able to see that putting two together, I just did a math problem and I just solved.
So then after you would kind of go through some of your visualization, would they then do some, you know, pen and paper, pencil and paper,
yes,
to kind of reinforce, because you still have to be able to do it.
Yeah, so like a prime example we did was we had like little note cards, and they were all like cut up. This was for first and second grade. And for those note cards, they had like addition, like a plus sign on one card, and then like some numbers like by themselves on some other cards. And we had them put them, okay, so put the number five, and then now put five dots underneath it, and then put the plus sign in the middle, and then the number six, and put six dots underneath that, and then the equal sign. And then they would add up the dots, so they would see the connection of five dots equals five numbers. And then we would say, okay, now they have piece of paper, now on your blocks, because they have like empty like blocks, now put a five in one block, and then put addition problem or the subtraction problem in another block, and then put the other number, and then put the equal sign, and then put your answer.
And did you get a sense, I mean, obviously from your report, but did you get a sense personally that you were seeing some improvement that they now can carry into their like school?
Yes, because like the big thing is like, especially during summer, they lose a lot, and if a lot of them then, you could tell they were more prepared for what was going to come the next year, and whatever grade they were going into. They had a lot of them said they had a better understanding. Like, there was one kid I remember who scored extremely low, and then his score increased because we then moved into two days a week math, and then not just having a one.
That's great. And had you guys traditionally in the past been working a little bit on math and science and some of the other fundamentals?
We've been doing science for quite a few years now, because that's been one of the AmeriCorps pushes. But actually, math we hadn't done. At the end of last summer, we always do like an end of the summer survey with the kids itself, and we asked them, what would you like to see? And a lot of them said they want to do math. So then when we had this opportunity with the Kenosha Unified Teachers to come and teach math, we thought, well, let's do it. And then when they started evaluating how the kids were and saw that some were so low, then all of a sudden it was like, well, let's do it another time. So we've been doing, like we did reading this year, we did it last year too. So several things we've done, but math was new for us.
And so do you see yourselves carrying this on, you know, next year?
I think we could, yeah. As long as we can make it fun,
well,
then we'll be well.
Well, it's good to see that it isn't just, you know, kind of a babysitting service.
Yeah, definitely not.
All they do is send them outside. You're
right.
They're gathering a lot more skill sets that would be beneficial.
Exactly. That was our
determination. Erin, you had something?
I was just going to say, you said you made it fun. Did the kids realize that they were learning math?
Yes.
But they didn't not like it because you made it fun? And same with science?
Right.
Yeah, there was never a complaint like, oh, we have to go to science. It was like, what are we going to do today? Are we going to blow something up?
Good.
That's
a good thing.
I just need to emphasize that this is all possible because of the AmeriCorps VISTA funding. If it wasn't for AmeriCorps VISTA supporting Holly's position, the summer VISTAs that we get, we wouldn't have the capacity to have this wonderful opportunity to partner with ELCA Outreach Center, to say it correctly. And they rely heavily on funding from United Way to be able to provide funding for the teen assistants and their volunteers who provide lunch. So it's a really wonderful partnership. I want to add that I was invited this year to be one of the judges for their talent contest, as was John Jansen from the Department of Human Services and Tracy Nielsen from United Way. So the three of us were the judges in this. Sort of, it kind of would remind you of a mini America's Got Talent kind of contest, and they literally do absolutely anything and everything when they walk up there, and it's just delightful. And what I gained from it so much, not just an opportunity to see the growth in these kids, the self-confidence of them from that second that they nervously walk up there to, I'm really going to have to do this, and then all of a sudden it just sort of, they take the whole stage. They're just ready to do what they need to do. So it's really great. So good program.
Okay.
All right, so our third box, we're not doing all of them this evening, but that third box is our newest program, which is our Tech Wizards program. And this is a program that is funded through the Office of Juvenile Justice. Am I saying that correctly, Alessandra? And this is funding that came to the state of Wisconsin in the state program area for youth development. They made a decision to decide where that money would be allocated throughout the state. Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee.
That's it.
Just our three counties are the only three who got the funding. Woohoo! How about that? We are expected to work with children in school districts that have high economically disadvantaged families, and to promote the elements of STEM, again, through the use of robotics. And so this year we have hired Alessandra Ruffalo, and we know Alessandra because kind of picked up on this. Alessandra is a partner we've had with the Outreach Center for the last couple of years, and she's recruited Kelly, who is also a Carthage College student, for the two of them to co-present and get this program off the ground this year. So this is one of those babies that John sort of incubated, and now he's not really here to see it happen. So I'm going to take credit, okay? Because
this is actually worked for you.
We're going to tell John.
His little pieces, and he'd say that'd be just like Teddy. So Alessandra and Kelly.
So I'll start off. The reason I left the room was I had one of our mentors give me one of the robots the kids built. So this is what the robot actually looks like.
It looks like a Nintendo.
So this program is, we go into two, like Teddy said, we go into, I can't think of the right word for it. Middle school is like
high risk.
High risk, yes. Higher risk middle schools, so they're both Washington Middle School and Lincoln Middle School. And one really cool thing is that we can incorporate also is this relates back to now the science core standards that have just been redeveloped, which is STEM, so which is engineering. So one thing that the kids will be doing is we have them build these robots. We partner up one mentor, which can be a high school or senior, high school or senior standing. It can be any adult or it can be any college student. So one thing we're working on is a partnership with our local high schools, which is St. Joseph's Catholic Academy, Lakeview Technical Academy, and Harborside Academy. And then we're going to be moving into them Bradford and Trevor as well. So we partner up one mentor with four youth kids, and they are there for support. Their support is to help develop these robots. So they get this huge Lego robotic kit, and it's all in pieces, and they build it. They start developing, this is what the final outcome would be. And they, program it to do all different things. It can talk, it can move forward, it can move backwards, it can move in circles, it can kick a ball, it can do a lot of different varieties. So as the program progresses,
the kids will develop a relationship with eventually with their mentor, and they'll become, you know, someone that they can go to and talk with. They can be someone that they look up to. They can be another individual who isn't their parents and who isn't their teachers, that they feel, you know, it's going to listen to me and they really can see what I can do. One thing that John mentioned and that, you know, we're trying to move forward with it is to have it be almost like a ladder effect. So we're going to introduce these kids to these Lego robotics, which is the engineering side of STEM, and then eventually it's going to lead into them wanting to look at, you know, Lakeview Technology Academy, which deals with, you know, STEM, or maybe transfer to K-Tech, which is, you know, their whole learning is based off of STEM. And then eventually we'll then lead them into, you know, to become an engineer at Snap-on, or to become an engineer at SC Johnson. So our whole emphasis is to show kids what can happen, and that engineering's out there. It's not just simply the engineering that you used to, like the basics, where like when I was thought engineering was more like, you know, they look at these machines and they say the machine works or not. That it's more than that. It's more of just, you know, you developing something that can do actually something you want it to do. So our whole emphasis is growing partnerships within KUSD and then growing partnerships with these kids so that they can say, you know, maybe I didn't think science was my type of field, but with STEM now they can see, you know what, science isn't just making experiments, but it's more of, you know, the engineering side. It's a lot of different things than just a simple science guy who's making bubbles in his lab. You guys have any questions?
So that's one point, right? Mm-hmm. So what's your opinion on the level of success you've kind of had? Because this is just starting.
This is just starting, and I'm just joining the team just as of this year. Though, from what I've heard, we have two returning mentors from Gateway Tech, and from what I've heard that they talked about, what I've seen from their reports is the level of success has been great. That the kids have developed programs that, like the program where the robot actually kicks the ball, the kids developed that program. Where the kids developed a lot of, you know, the movements, and so a lot of it has progressed a lot with the kids. We were housing 17 at Lincoln Middle School last 2012-2013 school year. We have 12 returning students for this year, and then we haven't got our new enrollment yet. But just even the fact that we have so many returning students, and a lot of those returning students continued through the summer at the Boys and Girls Club, because we continued doing the robotics there so the kids can still, you know, be a part of it and have something to do during the summer. A lot of them went then to the Boys and Girls Club through our program that we were housed at the Boys and Girls Club.
And the ones that are coming back, mm-hmm. Do you see them kind of, you know, encouraging some of
their friends?
Friends,
yes.
Yeah, or maybe even siblings to become involved? Or?
Yes. I think I really, because we're still in the progress of trying to get into the schools and like everything they have, but from what I've heard and from what I've understood is they have been like, a lot of it's like through friends and through like word of mouth. One thing we're trying to do this year is have them be nominated. So to have the kids feel like they're more held, keep like responsible, accountable for it. So what we're doing is we're going to the science teacher, we're going to the social worker, the counselor, and to say, okay, here's a sheet, like who would you nominate to be part of this program? Why would they be beneficial for this program? Then in the spring is we're trying to set up a competition that we're gonna, hopefully, John kind of started, but we're gonna hold at the Lakeview Technology Academy, and we're gonna start a competition so then they have a goal to achieve. To go to that competition, they'll be competing hopefully against K-Tech as well, will be with us, and then, so then there's competition between the two of them.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
The other piece, you did, we're recruiting mentors, so if you know anybody who's interested in being a mentor, we can get all these kids, but we have to have mentors as well.
Yes.
So.
What do we need, about 10?
10.
And you guys are looking for seniors or at least juniors
that
can drive.
Yes.
You gotta be mobile, right?
Yeah, they have to be mobile. And we want them, because we know like a lot of the high schools recently are saying they prefer community hours, so we're willing to work with the high school to give them community hours. And then we want them also to be seniors and juniors, just because, you know, they'll be more responsible in our eyes and, you know, more mature and everything that we believe.
But some.
Some of them. We're hoping.
Quickly, Alfred, you forgot about your junior.
We're hoping.
More mature than the freshmen.
Yes, and the sophomores.
And do they need to have a science or a mathematics? Mm-hmm.
So it can be, even for college, for any college student, they can have any background. Like, I'm education, so I have no science background at all. Besides.
Yeah, I love that engineering description.
Very accurate, right?
So it can be the kind of any background. We'll show them how it works. And then the program, it's a disc. It's pretty also, like, it goes step by step. So the kind of cool thing is, too, is you're learning with the kids. So they kind of also feel that, like, one thing we always learn in our teaching classes, the more when you learn with your kids is, they feel the better connection with you and understand that, like, oh, it's not just me, they're participating and they're not just telling me what to do. So.
Okay, great, thank you.
That is.
Okay,
is, yep.
We will go on to our program updates. Then that would be, which one of you want to go first?
Well, sure, go ahead.
I can go first.
Okay.
I can't top what they did, because, wow, I have loads of questions in my past career. Because I'm also a substitute teacher, so that's very interesting.
Oh.
And I'm a science teacher.
Oh, really?
For extension, though, I won't get back on my other job. I've been working a lot when Barb's not around, helping out here at the KCC Garden with the Master Gardeners. And although we started with like 9 people at the beginning of the season, we're down to like 5 helping me. But the gardens are great, so I'm really happy about that. And along with Laurel, our program assistant, mm-hmm. I think she's called. Eric's got different titles here. Okay. Laurel and I have actually tried to take over the reins from Barb. Actually, she's kind of handed them to her. It hasn't been a struggle. She's been struggling. We're trying to get the Spring into Gardening program going again for next year, and that happens on March 8th of 2014. We just had our first planning committee a couple weeks ago. We'll have another one tomorrow. What it does is brings community people, whoever's involved in or interested in gardening, to this one-day workshop and seminars, and they learn what's happening, the new trends, and it's really good education for even people like me who've been in the business but forever to see the new things that are happening. And I think it's going to be a very worthwhile program again because we have Laura, who's very organized, she's got things going already for us, and of course with Barb as our consultant, I think it's going to be, I think, great this next year. So that's basically what I've been working on lately. I'm sure Rob's got other stuff she wants to run my lab soon, but that'll be great.
All right. And my brief update is we started Master Gardener Level 1 training last week, and so this week was their second week, and we did botany. And so they had lots of hands-on branches and looking at things. We have 35 new people in the program from Kenosha and Racine counties, and they take 32 hours of training, and then the expectation is that they will donate a minimum of 24 hours of volunteer time before in the coming year. It's also wrap-up time for the existing Master Gardener volunteers, so they're in the process of sending their hours in and seeing what all they've done on their projects and those kinds of things. And then this is also the time of year where groups can submit projects that they would like Master Gardener volunteers to work on, remembering that the key is that there has to be an educational component or a therapeutic horticulture kind of component to it. They are not free landscape maintenance. So
They're part of the, Master Gardeners are part of the outreach of the University of Wisconsin Extension, and that means that they are educators. So so that's the other thing. And then as an educator, I don't know if you saw in the Kenosha News yesterday, the interview, boy, we had all sorts of calls. I want to talk to Barb about watering my trees. So the Master Gardener volunteers today took those calls and called people back about watering their trees. And then I was also interviewed by another reporter, and there will be something coming up about fall gardening chores and everything. So continue to do a lot of media outreach, both personally through my columns, and then I'm looked at as a resource for many people in the area. So anyway, that's the update on the horticulture side.
Any questions for our Master Gardeners?
So,
yeah.
Like if I put in a program, come around and work on my bushes.
Your yard?
I mean, I wouldn't be getting educated.
No, that's not going to work. We actually have...
It's therapeutic.
It's therapeutic, yeah. Well, I don't know.
It would be.
So one of them is, one of the criteria is it has to be a non-for-profit, too. So
I don't have a profit.
You don't have a profit. Neither do I.
I have daughters.
Yeah, I know, me too. That, yeah, we do have criteria. We do have a committee of Master Gardeners, and Patty Nagai, who is the horticulture educator in Racine County, and I sit on this committee, and we review all of the current projects and the reports, because they have to send in a report every year to see if it still meets the criteria, and then also look at any new projects to see if it meets the criteria.
Just a very quick in Reader's Digest, what would be your kind of project for this last year?
Well, the Kenosha County, the grounds here with the signage and everything, the Kenosha Achievement Center, working with the clients there.
Treeberg
Grade School, I noticed.
Which I found out about.
Yes.
They have a courtyard, and they brought in the Master Gardeners to help teach the kids how to do gardening in their courtyard.
So they worked with that. We have another one that's called Botany in the Classroom, where we have Master Gardeners that go in a single day and teach gardening to, or they make terrariums, and it's another science related kind of thing. So lots of different projects. We can do that later on when we have our thing. Probably December, I think, is when we're going to do that.
Any other questions?
Yes, I have one. The March 8th thing. When is that? What time?
Saturday.
Oh, yeah, Saturday. It's all day. It's the second Saturday in March. And the classes start at 9 o'clock and go until about 3:30 in the afternoon. And it'll be probably about $30. And there's four sessions. Time slots during the day, and there's usually four or five different options. We try to make sure, we try to have several tracks. One is fruit and vegetable gardening, flowers, trees and shrubs, lawns, and then environmental track. So,
what's it called again?
It's called Spring into Gardening.
Okay, thank you.
And there'll be more on that later.
There will be.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, if not, thank you everyone. I think we're done.
Okay.